KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, polarization, budget concerns, all topics that can cause tension in the workplace. NCRC can help seasoned and emerging leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, July 1st. More housing could be coming to a transit stop near you. More on SB 79 next, but first, the headlines. Signs for Cesar E. Chavez Parkway have been removed and replaced with ones that now read Chicano Park Boulevard. This comes months after the New York Times reported numerous allegations of sexual abuse against the deceased labor leader. Several parks, institutions, and public spaces across the county have previously removed Chavez's name or likeness. Some hospitality workers in the city of San Diego are getting a raise today. Employees of certain hotels and amusement parks will now make $19 an hour, and event center workers will now make over $20 an hour. That's higher than the city's current minimum wage of $17.75 an hour. That's because the City of San Diego's hospitality wage ordinance went into effect. It was approved by the City Council back in 2025 and then signed into law by Mayor Todd Gloria. Hourly wages for hospitality workers will also continue to increase each year on July 1st until reaching $25 an hour in 2030. The increases are for employees who work at hotels with more than 150 rooms, event centers like Petco Park, Pechanga Arena, the Civic Theater, and the San Diego Convention Center, as well as amusement parks with more than 75 acres like SeaWorld and Legoland. Roughly 800,000 passengers are anticipated to arrive or depart from San Diego International Airport between June 28th and July 6th. Airport officials say things will be very busy at the airport with a projected 90 to 95,000 daily travelers. Thursday is anticipated to be the busiest day prior to the holiday and Monday, July 6th, the busiest post-holiday travel day. Airport officials are asking you to check your flight status before heading to the airport, reserve parking in advance, get a ride, or take a rideshare. And of course, arrive early. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country, with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head-on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.
A new state housing law takes effect in San Diego today. Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta tells us where the law will and won't make way for new development.
More homes could be coming to a San Diego transit stop near you. The state law SB 79 changes zoning around certain transit stops to allow much denser housing. The law applies anywhere within a half mile of a qualifying transit stop. In San Diego, that means all the trolley stations and a handful of rapid bus stops. But according to San Diego's City Planning Department, only about a quarter of all areas where the law could apply will be immediately affected. Here's senior planner Grant Rorodi back in May.
Only areas outside of low-resource areas that do not include designated historic resources, are not subject to sea level rise, and not in very high fire severity zones would take effect on July 1st.
The areas expected to see an immediate zoning change include North Park, the area around UC San Diego, and Mission Valley trolley stops. The places Rorodi outlined will be phased in when the city releases an alternative plan next summer. Zach DeFazio-Farrell is an executive board member for Yimby Democrats of San Diego, a group that advocates for more housing. He says the city is likely waiting to study the impact of dense housing in those areas, but they shouldn't need to.
We have a pretty good sense of what the impact of more housing will be. It will be stabilizing prices.
Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
You can find an interactive map of where the law will apply in the city of San Diego on kpbs.org. A new report says more of San Diego County's Hispanic and Latino students are graduating from high school. Education reporter Katie Anastas tells us why.
It was 2020 when Carlo Vasquez Melendez started his freshman year of high school. Trying to focus on school during COVID was difficult, but he found reasons to stick with it.
It was people in my life that knew that I was capable of doing something.
Organizations like the Barrio Logan College Institute kept him on track. It served students who would be the first in their families to go to college.
It was definitely something that I knew that I could rely on every step of the way.
Now he's studying political science at San Diego State University. A new report shows he's part of a growing number of Hispanic and Latino students graduating from high school in San Diego County. In 2005, only 7 in 10 graduated from high school. By 2023, that number had grown to 9 in 10.
I think these community orgs have been really helpful.
Dean Gerdeman is with the San Diego Foundation. They helped fund the report. He says high schools are making changes too.
Schools are doing better at more kind of consistently tracking and supporting students and intervening earlier.
He says career training and college courses are helping keep students engaged through graduation. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
Filipino Americans in San Diego have maintained cultural and faith traditions for decades through regional associations. Reporter Elaine Alfaro takes us to St. Mary's Catholic Church in National City for a fiesta.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
On a warm Saturday morning in May, ringing bells pierced through the quiet in the neighborhood surrounding St. Mary's Church on East 8th Street in National City. Men donning traditional barongs and women glittering in Filipiniana dresses sparkled in the morning light, at times stopping traffic. A replica of Our Lady of the Rosary of Manawag rose above the crowd. Though she was traversing the streets of San Diego, Salvacion Peralta felt a connection to her home.
The church always bring people closer together, going to the church, because that's how we grew up.
The original Our Lady of the Rosary of Manawag statue draws thousands to the municipality of Manawag, Philippines, for the same procession. The statue is an image of the Virgin Mary that's considered sacred in the Pangasinan region of the Philippines.
And we're very successful celebrating the biannual fiesta celebration of Our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of the Rosary of Manawag, or we call it Apobakat, which means old lady, but that's how she was called there over in the Philippines, and we do it here too.
Catholicism came to the Philippines through Spanish colonization, which lasted from the mid-1500s until the turn of the 20th century. It's now ingrained in much of Filipino culture and identity, and the many layers of Filipino culture have been represented in San Diego for decades. The Pangasinan, Bicol, and Cavite regions all have their own clubs, where traditional dance, stories, and food are honored. Salvador Flor was born and raised in San Diego. His father, a Navy veteran, was involved in the Bicol Club.
You had the regional club, and you had the church, and you had the family. To me, the church is a safety net for our Filipino community.
The Navy was another strong connection.
The regional clubs really set the basis of camaraderie for the new Navy guys, because the Navy guys would come here, be stationed locally. They'd have some relatives in San Diego, which would basically try to find the region they're from.
The mothers, aunties, and grandmothers also played pivotal roles in these associations. Charlotte Guarnez Fajardo says she was 12 years old when her aunt and other women started San Diego's Bicol Club in 1962.
She was quite a leader. She told the men to stay in the kitchen, take care of the children, while the women went into the bedroom to talk about how they could support each other. And that was the birth of the Bicol Club.
Fajardo says the club was formed by women to support women. A main focus was ensuring that their children kept a connection to their homeland as they grew up in the United States.
Making sure that they understood their culture, making sure that we had events around our faith, and making sure we had plenty of parties and times to entertain each other.
The fiestas are a through line for each of the regional groups. Back at the fiesta at St. Mary's, the devotees of Our Lady of the Rosary of Manawag gathered for Mass after the procession. The smell of incense wafts through the air. Important leaders in the Catholic Filipino faith even flew into town for the Mass and feast. After Mass, the attendees formed a winding line through the church's community auditorium, the smell of lechon and pancit setting the table for continued fellowship. Peralta plays a big role in planning the festivities.
So when there's a fiesta, there's food. There's a fiesta, there's a Mass, there's food right after. And it's also a fellowship. Fellowship, you get to mingle with your fellow devotees, fellow Filipinos.
The challenge lies with the younger generations, who don't have memories of celebrating these traditions and holidays in the Philippines, making sure they see the value and importance of the religious and cultural traditions. Peralta said there is a solid foundation to build upon.
We set a good example, and so the youth to follow, like what we do, like praying the rosary, bringing the statue house to house, celebrate the fiesta. So they will, when we are gone, so the next generation will do the same thing.
That is Peralta's hope. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
San Diego is moving to crack down on landlords that charge fees in addition to monthly rent. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the proposal would also ban charging rent for pets.
According to the ASPCA, the average pet rent in San Diego is $51 per month. It's one example of what critics call junk fees. Those are charges on top of rent that can be confusing and aren't always disclosed up front. City Councilmember Sean Ila Rivera is proposing to require landlords to itemize and explain all of those fees when advertising a unit. He would also cap their sum total at 5% of monthly rent.
This isn't about creating unnecessary burdens. It's about restoring fairness, increasing transparency, and helping rebalance the relationship between tenants and landlords so renters have the information they need to make informed decisions.
The City Council discussed the measure Tuesday. A final vote is expected sometime in the fall. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.